need to go, you know, we've come into sugyas several times in order to pick up the patterns because of the intricate discussions of each case and shame malacha that that is part and parcel of the discussion itself. But if you look across the different sugyas, it does appear to be a certain consistency. I wouldn't say a consistency that is without problems, but there certainly seems to be certain patterns in the positions of some of the Rishonim. And what we've seen so far is that the Bali Tosas seem to have a certain general view. Again, each Rishon, we could point to certain problems, but despite the problems, there is a certain pattern. The Ri, certainly, Bali Tosas, the Ireim, Ikar Vashoresh, whether it's rooted in the Mishkan or otherwise. The question of Kederach has some advocates, the question of Malacha Chashuva, the broader question of negative Malacha as opposed to positive Malacha and how you define negative, different ways, whether it refers to the Maisa or to the general process, the Tahalich, or it refers to damage control, different perspectives on what a negative malacha is, or the other question, whether Tzricha L'Gufa refers to Tzorach HaGavra or Tzorach HaChefza. So we've seen a whole range of views. Rashi, Tosas, the Ireim, each of these are different. Rabbeinu Gershom, Rabbeinu Hananel, Rabbi Haigon seem to be a certain a group in the Rishonim. The Tosas Rid, partially overlapping with the Ireim, at least on the Chefza side of things, and so on. Depending on which perspective you take, that obviously makes more difficult certain cases. If you were to ask different Rishonim, which is the classical case of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, you know, you might get different responses. Is it going to be Chofer Guma? Is it going to be Hotzah Sameis? Is it going to be Ara Dechavre? Is it going to be Motsi Reach Ra? You would get completely different responses, in my opinion. I don't know whether you actually would if you had them in the room and you said to them, you know, what's your paradigm for Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa? I'm not sure whether this would happen, but at least in terms of the analysis, different cases really emerge in light of the analysis as being more or less problematic as Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. But the whole orientation just changes. I'll just give a few examples of things that we've already seen. The relationship between Kibli and Soser is, I think, an example of this. Basically, some of the Rishonim, Bali Tosas included, on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, are bothered by, you know, the fact that Soser Almanas Livnos is fine. That's, according to most Rishonim, considered to be Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. And yet, Kibui, you know, Lahatzil as a Shemen, or as a Ner, or as a Psila, that's not fine. That's only a Livid Rabbi Huda, not a Livid Rabbi Shimon that says Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Potter. Why is it that in the case of Soser, you can stay with the negative, whereas as long as it has some positive function in the end, whereas when it comes to Kibui, it has to be for the sake of Asiyas Tachon. So the truth is one could give many answers to this question, but the point is that if you are the Bali, if you're the Re, and you ask this question, you know, so there's an immediate answer. That is, I don't really, what I'm trying to show is the different orientations here. If I take the Bali Tosas perspective, all I need to say is the classic example of Mechabe in the Mishkan happened to be Asiyas Mechabe, or happened to be a Yitzira rather than a Minia. Hivuv Psila then might be included in it. Whereas the classic case of Soser in the Mishkan was Soser Almanas Livnos, but there was no creation in the Stira itself. But all I need to do is look back and invoke, you know, the historical record. But for other Rishonim, you know, that's not going to be enough. If I take the view of Rashi or the Ramban or the Balamor, then the question is going to be a much more serious question. It still may have an answer, but it's a different kind of an answer. The answer can no longer be, you know, this is the historical paradigm. It's going to have to be an analysis of one of two things. Either of the nature of the Shein Malacha, which might end up put the same kind of response that the Bali Tosas give, but on a different basis. It's not looking back at the historical record of the Mishkan. It's trying to figure out, conceptually, the nature of Kibui is different than the nature of Soser. Maybe Soser can be viewed as a preparatory malacha to Bonet, just by clearing the land. And Kibui cannot be viewed as a Tchilas Havara. Or, you know, if you were the Ramban and you were being asked this question, you could say in one case it really is Minia Sahefsed. Whereas in the other case, being so Sarabinian is not Minia Sahefsed. It's a step. And this is not a step, it's a negative. The point is that each Rishon is going to have to respond according to his own definition of Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, as subtle as those differences sometimes are, number one, and in a completely different way depending on what it's all based on. If it's based on the nature of the Malachos, or if it's dependent on a certain paradigm, or it's based on the global issue of applying these criteria. In other words, even if you don't hold like the Bali Tosas, that you can look back to the Mishkan, there's still going to be a group of Rishonim that are going to say that the nature of Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is defined by each and every Malacha. And here, for example, it could highlight this point by just invoking the difference between the Yireim and the Bali Tosas. The Yireim and Bali Tosas share much in common, as we noted. The idea of Ein Kavana L'Masha, you know, Goreim Lehikaros Malacha, and Ikar, you know, Yisharasho V'Yisoda Malacha have a lot in common. At the same time, again, because Bali Tosas just have to invoke the historical record, it's easier to pin down, you know, what the Ikar Shorish V'Yisod is for them than it is for the Urayim. Because for the Urayim, it seems to be based on a more objective assessment of what the nature of the Malacha is, not simply what happened in the Mishkan. It probably can't be inconsistent with what happened in the Mishkan, because that wouldn't make sense. That's what this week's Parsha, you know, the Smichos tells us. But it's not caused by what happened in the Mishkan. And therefore, it requires, in some cases it's going to be a more expansive, in some cases a less expansive definition. But the point is that, you're going to have to speak to the nature of each malacha. So, for example, in the... there are several points of disagreement between Bali Tosas and the Urayim. Kibui is a good example of it. For the Urayim, what is Kibui? Sammy? Or I should say, what is not Kibui? What is Kibui for Bali Tosas? So it improves the object, or it makes some positive contribution, and therefore it can be two cases. What are the two cases? Well, the classic case is asiyas pecham, and what's the other case that the Gemara seems to say, even according to Rav Shimon Hizkayev in the Gemara? What other cases is Chayev, even according to Rav Shimon? Brian? Noam? What? Hivuv Apsila. Right? If you singeing the wick through the process of Kibui, that's also Chayev according to Rav Shimon. According to Bali Tosas, both are Chayev Midin Kibui. In fact, Bali Tosas would consider Kibui itself. I'm just trying to make this a little more concrete, because we've extracted some speculative definitions from the cases, but I just want to show how they really are different. Bali Tosas themselves consider even the Minias Hahefsed might have been enough for Kibui, because again, from them, from their point of view, you know, Mises Siluk, you know, coping, none of these things are relevant at all. The only reason that they don't go as far as saying, you know, if you're going to burn the cholent, you know, taking it off the or putting out the flame would constitute a malacha shetzricha legufa. Is why? What's the only reason they don't go that far? Yitzi? Dovi? Because that's the way it was. That's not the way it was in Mishkan, but they consider the possibility. Right? Now, you couldn't consider that possibility if you were Rashi or the Ramban. It's part of the global definition of Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa that eliminates this. But for Bali Tosis, everything is the individual Malacha, and the role you have it there, Tosan Sadi Dalar Medalef. Again, I haven't read every line of these Tosafim, but I'm assuming that everyone else has. I haven't read it in class. I've read it myself. But I'm assuming that everybody knows these cases. I'm just trying to save a little bit of time. But go ahead. So what is he saying?
He's saying that the reason that it's the sabra that since that probably didn't actually happen in the Mishkan for whatever reason, so that's right. Probably not the Tzorach Lugufa.
But had it happened that way in the Mishkan? Right. Now there's no theoretical reason why Kibui, Kakasal Aner should not be Tzricha Lugufa, except that it's not in the paradigm. Again, once it's not in the paradigm, it's not in the paradigm. For this particular malacha. I'm not making light of that either. But the point is that for Rashi, for the Balamor, for the Ramban, right, this isn't an issue of how it was played out in the Mishkan. If it had played out opposite Mishkan, we might have had to re-examine. That's a different issue. But first and foremost, the question is, does it fit into our conceptual definition of Ein Tzricha Legufa? And the answer is, well, it's negative, it's coping, or it's damage control according. It's coping for Rashi, it's damage control according to the Ramban, it's a Malacha Silok according to the Balamor, and so on. But for Tosas, there's tremendous flexibility and rigidity. Right? The potential for flexibility, if it was in the Mishkan, and rigidity, maybe in making certain distinctions that were not. Of course, again, even if Bali Tosas have to try to figure out what was peripheral in the Mishkan and what was integral in the Mishkan. That's a secondary question. And what exactly their criterion was to do that, I think, is highly, questionable. We're reconstructing backwards. But we know that Bali Tosis, we're aware of the fact. I'm not saying, everything that happened in the Mishkan, becomes critical for the Shein Malacha. They, too, understand that within the Mishkan, we're trying to figure out a concept and a category, which is why it may overlap a lot. We know that from the continuation of the discussion. Dovi, go ahead. We talk about why does it you don't need legufo but legufo. Okay, again, is that ripping for therapeutic purposes could have been Tzricha Legufa too.
Right.
Except it wasn't what it was in the Mishkan. Here comes the key line.
Right.
Okay, so again, what he's struggling with here is clearly the issue. Again, how he resolves it is not doesn't is not as critical as the struggle itself. There's an acknowledgement that it isn't exeris akasuv of the case of the Mishkan with you know any trappings no matter what. Obviously the essential ones. Tosis is also trying to figure out the Shem Malacha, but the Shem Malacha doesn't flow from the objective status of the Malacha, you know, globally. It flows from the role that it played and therefore an existing possibility that was accented in the Mishkan. But since it's an existing possibility, one which is has to have coherence legally, therefore it's not going to include everything. And that's why the whole discussion in the Gemara about Legufo, Legufa, and so on, is a question of where to draw the line, even within the Mishkan. So basically, for Tosas, two efforts need to be made in each case. One is to look at what happened in the Mishkan and to try to distill what is the Malach, what is the Mishkan's perspective on the Malacha, and then to apply it to Shabbos. But the point is that it's a whole different orientation. You have a much wider, much more expansive list of potential Shem Malachas, or Ikar V'Shoresh Shem Malachas, than you would for anyone else. On the other hand, for the Ramban, for Rashi, these same cases are just not Omed al HaPerek. They're just completely... they make no sense because they're against the global definition of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. The Urayim, on the other hand, doesn't have the Mishkan. So he has a direct focus only on what objectively he considers to be Masha Gorim Lehikaros Malacha. Now again, it can't defy the Mishkan, but this is a very important difference. It's not that Mishkan is Koveya, but of course it's got to be something consistent with the Mishkan as well, because otherwise it clearly isn't the Dabar HaGorim LeKaras Malacha, because of the role the Mishkan plays. It isn't a central role as for Tosis, but it has to be one which validates the theory, at minimum. So that's why I think it's very fascinating that sometimes, again, the Urayim will be more expansive, and sometimes he will be more restrictive than the Baalei Tosis. So when it comes to Mechabe, for example, well, what is the Urayim sheet about Mechabe? We know Baalei Tosis say, right, the Gemara says, Hivuv Apsila and Asiyas Pecham, because both of these are positive, creative usages. And therefore they fit the role of the Mishkan. Not that per se, had they been negative, they would have been excluded, had it been in the Mishkan, but this is what the Mishkan determines in this particular case. What about the Urayim's view on Kibui? No one saw it? The Urayim says that only Asiyas Pecham is Kibui. Hivuv Apsila, according to the Urayim, is Makom Patish. You can't get away from the Gemara. The Gemara says Yerchayev. But not Mishum Mechaba. And the Urayim goes on to explain that, in his opinion, that's what the Shem Malach of Kibui is. The creative Kibui is Asiyas Pecham. It's a Yetzira. Moreover, it's consistent with the Urayim's view on the second point, that is that Tzricha Legufa is when it focuses on the actual Heftza itself. The question is, what is the Heftza? Right, is it a very narrow definition? In this sense, it could be similar to the Tosas Rin. But the point is that the Urayim has to define each Malacha according to his objective view of the nature of that Malacha in a way that is not inconsistent with the Mishkan, but it doesn't really derive from the Mishkan either. You can almost see what happened here. For Baalei Tosas, Tosas said, I'm open to all definitions of Kibui. There's no negative, positive. That's not what Tzricha L'Gufa is about. Tzricha L'Gufa is just whatever the Hikaros and the Shoresh. So let's start off with the widest possible definition. Anytime you are Mechaber. Right, even for the sake of Menias HaHefsed. The answer is no, that doesn't fit into the Mishkan because we don't have anything like that. It's not, you know, Kibui HaSamonim, it was Asiyas Pecham. But it doesn't have to be Asiyas Pecham technically either. Asiyas Pecham becomes a proxy for, you know, the next level, which is anything but the negative. But for the Urayim, you really have to figure out not just, you know, the widest possible definition as long as it fits in with the Mishkan, but what is the Gorin Li Karas Malacha? And his opinion, Kibui is Asiyas Pecha. In a similar vein, not sure if they're connected, but as I think we noted, somebody mentioned the other day, I think Eliab mentioned to me, when we were talking about the Machlokas or Rishonim about Mar, Hotsa'as Mar Lachbar Bokever, right? Or Hotsa'as Mita Lahavi Ba Esames. So as we know, that's a machlokes harishonim, right? Is that malach shen etzricha legufa or not? So it's interesting to note, and Eliab pointed out to me the other day, that again, according to Tosas, on which one is that? That's on the Kuvav, right? Tosas on Kuvav says that the mar hotzas mar lachbar boke lachbar bokever. Or hotzah samita lahotzi ba'as ames is actually malach shen etzricha legufa. He actually takes the wider view, right? That's here. It's very interesting actually. Mal levashol psila mal levashol samanim. Tosas equates this issue in kilk. Just one more second. Kilkul and ein tzricha legufa. Tosas says again, we have to pin it down in kilkul. Our next topic, but let's say again, you're doing a bishul hapsila kedei lisrof bab, you know, as bas kohen. So that's one of these issues, right? If you would isolate the malacha itself, it seems like any other malacha shetzricha legufa, but it's for the sake of, right, something which may be ein tzricha legufa, maybe. So Tosa says here that when it comes to Mekalkel, Hachana Dishul Psila, the Sarach Shrefa, Hachana Afkala Shapir, the Kol Shar Misas Bezdin Chashuv Tikun, Mishum Mitzvah. The Elav Shrefa Atzma, Chashiva Tikun, Mishum Bishul Psila, Lahav Asura, Afa Bishum Takenis Bekach, Kivin De Eina Ela Mishum Shrefa, Lahav Chashuv Tikun, Vela Mechayev. So Tosa says when it comes to tikkun v'kilkul, it's got to be, this is an issue, that killing the bas kohen is a tikkun. Biarta rabbi kirbecha is a tikkun. Because if it wasn't, then the bishul apsila, l'shem, sreifas bas kohen, would also be kilkul. So it's got to be that the larger is tikkun, so that the narrower can be tikkun. Okay. That's what he says with regard to kilkul. Then he says, of course, one can argue with that. That's clearly, you have to, that's one of the important issues, both in Ein Tzricha Legufa and in Mekalkel. Do we define by the malacha, restricted, or by the larger goal purpose? One of the things that we've discussed. But then he adds, v'chein motzi mara lachbar likbar b'meis, the Rav Shimon kama motzi kis l'kabal boziva, the parakama. So the issue of hotzas, kis the ziva, and so on, or tzos mita l'meis, is not about makalka matake. So there's another assumption of balitosis. This question about the relationship between the narrower and the broader context, the narrower mice and the broader context, you're not supposed to be mechalek between tikkun and kilkul. Whatever you say for one, you should say for the other. Is that logical, Ellie? Is that logical? To make that equation? That what we say for kilkon tikkun, we should also say for tzricha legufa and ein tzricha legufa. Should you zero in on the local malacha, or should you define it by the larger purpose? What? It is logical. It's not mukhrach. What? It's not mukhrach, but it's very reasonable. Does you have it's a question that is relevant to both cases. It would be actually very intriguing if we were to be mechalik between them. That's one of the things we'll look at. Because then it would show that the role of kilkul v'tikkun and the role of tzricha legufa and tzricha legufa is different. For example, if one is based on meleches machsheves, asra Torah, and the other is based on, let's say, the Mishkan, then actually we might be mechalik. It's interesting that dafka b'alei tosas make this equation. That's why I say it's not mukhrach at all, but it is very reasonable. When things are parallel, right, that's never a problem. It's questionable, but it's not going to be a problem. there's a similar phenomenon here. Do we look to the narrow? Do we look to the broad? Whenever we say for kilku, we say for ein tzricha l'gufa. But what's the example? Mar lahotzi. So it's just interesting that here, the Balei Tosas, despite their... obviously, they don't consider this to be a contradiction to the Mishnah. That would seem to be the point. As the reason that Neis Lahotzi is considered Ein Tzricha L'Gufa is because of the Mishkan. Because in the Mishkan, not because per se it's a Malacha Sila, but because in the Mishkan, they were interested in using the object of their Tiltol. And here, they're not interested in the Neis. The Neis may need to be moved, but they're not interested in it. So one could have argued, and what about Mar, Lahotzi Mar, Lachbar, Bokever? We don't want to have that case there. But it seems like, again, the perspective of Balei Tosas is, we use the Mishkan as a, you know, the Mishkan is the control. If it's reasonable, and it's not against the Mishkan, then that's part of the Shem Malacha too. Whereas the Urayim, just the pattern in the Urayim seems to be more restrictive to begin with. So, for example, the Urayim's view is that Mar, Lahotzi Mar Lachbar Bokever, is a Malacha She Tzricha L'Gufa. Because we look at the Malacha, not at the wider issue. Again, it could be a separate argument, but I think, yeah, no.
So what we're saying is, theoretically,
they just got to deal with
it, they were to dig in order to collect
dirt,
so that would be
Malacha Shetzricha L'Gufa. Yes, well, Tosa says that. We'll get to that soon. Tosa says the reason the Chofar Guma, they ain't Tzarech Le'ela La'Fara, is Malacha Shetzricha L'Gufa, is because in the Mishkan they were interested in the Guma. But it doesn't say what other Rishonim say, which is that the Malacha of Bona, you know, is by definition a Malacha Sakarka, and the Afar is just a coincidence or something like that.
So, I was just wondering, because it doesn't seem like... If theoretically in the Mishkan they dug in order to collect dirt, would we still say that the Malacha is digging to collect dirt, or would we just say the Malacha is collecting dirt? It doesn't seem like we have Malachos that
I'm not sure. I think it depends. I don't think there's one answer to that question. I think it could depend, meaning if there were different, if there were alternative definitions or events or activities that took place in the Mishkan, so you're saying, would they just have expanded or redefined the existing malachos? Or you're asking me, would that have created new categories of malachos? Like, maybe still 39, but...
It seems like the way we derive malacho from what happened in the Mishkan still respects the chiluk between guf and nafshu. I mean, when something happened in the Mishkan, so you look at the guf of that mindset...
Well, that's what I said before. I mean, even Balei Tosas have to agree, but now we understand especially why that's so. That not everything is exactly as it was in the Mishkan. You still have to analyze in the Mishkan what is peripheral and what is definitional. And there's an element of speculation, you know, in a sense, what I'm arguing is what the Urayim does at stage one, you know, Tosas has to do at some stage two within the Mishkan. That's what the Urayim, it's a direct issue. Well, what is the Malacha? And the Mishkan might be, you know, a Ma'akev. And for Tosas, it's... what's the nature of the malacha done in the Mishkan? But I still have to figure out there whether it was peripheral or central. But that's subtle, but it's very different. And I'm trying to show that as a result of that, Balei Tosas sometimes are more makel, more machmir. It's not an issue of makel and machmir. It's the role that these things, play. So that's I think another example: the issue of Mar Lachbarbo, the issue of Hivuv Apsila. Between Tosas and the Urayim, and between Tosas and Urayim and the Ramban, on the one hand, and the Ramban, Balamor, I'm grouping them together at the moment, Ramban, Balamor, Rashi, who I think have different definitions of negative malacha, but what they have in common is that at least to begin with, it all starts off not with each and every malacha, that's for Tosas, the Mishkan, defining the malacha, for the Urayim, the malacha, as long as it doesn't contradict the Mishkan. For Ramban, Rashi, and Balamor, a global lamites avos malachos definition of the way to be over on Shabbos, which again can't contradict the Mishkan, of course. The Mishkan is just a facts that you can't deny. But for the others, again, the Mishkan plays the same role as maybe it does for the Urayim. Okay, but unlike the Urayim, where it's each malacha, masha gorin li karos malacha, for these Rishonim, it's universal, it's global. It's what is tzarech l'gufa, what is not tzarech l'gufa. And then fill in the blanks within them. Is it coping and reacting as opposed to initiating and, you know, and moving forward? Is it a negative maisa? Is it, is it a kavana? Is it a positive kavana or tachlis legabra? Is it about the cheftza? And so on. But those are global. Now, of course, within the global ones also, you can be super global like the Baal HaMor and say every case is tzricha legufa or ein tzricha legufa on the basis of these criteria. And if it happens that it's consistent with the Shem Malacha itself, that it's ein tzricha legufa, so that'll be an exception, and you'll say ein tzricha legufa chayiv. That's the Baal HaMor's global orientation leads them even that far. Zohar and Bora are ein tzricha legufa, they just have to be chayiv, though. Whereas other Rishonim would say, well, ein tzricha legufa, even if it is objective, it's still objective based on how it relates to the alternatives within malachos. Obviously, if that's the character of the malacha, then it's not ein tzricha legufa, because ein tzricha legufa for them, that's for the Baal HaMor, it's malachas siluk v'dechiya, and so on. But for Rashi, let's say, and for the Ramban, there's still a relative element of it, because if you're talking about coping, or you're talking about a negative malacha, in its broader sense, it has to be negative relative to another option. So for Rashi, there always has to be another option. If I can do this malacha positively, and I am doing it, b'derech siluk, then that's a negative malacha. Or if I'd rather not be here, and I do it b'derech siluk. But if we're talking about Bozora and Borer, right? So clearly there aren't alternatives. That is the Shem Malacha. And the same with the Ramban. If we're talking about not the Maisa, but we're talking about the Tachlis Hadavar Lagabra, so then I don't have to define these negatively at all. The point is that even within the three who take the more global view of what Tzarech L'Gufa is and how to apply it, the differences of how they define it are of course going to, result in nafkamina, but more than that, they're going to result in different perspective in how to deal with certain cases and issues. Another example, hotzas ames. So for Rashi, hotzas ames is a klali issue. It's, siluk and coping, the combination, and so I should just mention also, on the relationship within Rashi about the two factors which we discussed, and we made a suggestion. In the Sefer HaMa'oros, in one of those Rabbi Blau books, the red books I call them. So in the Sefer HaMa'oros, he's bothered by this. Not Tzadi Dalar on the base. Pirush Rashi, the Chiyamina de Lekavar Pater Avusa Kamar, Apa Pishu Tzorach HaMes, Kim Shein Tzorach HaMotzi Pater. The Kol Shkein Imloa Hotziya Lekavar Ala Hotziya Lechutz. Ya forgot the tzorech hamotzi hu. Kedei shelo yariach reach ra. Kivin de ikar misa sameis. Lo nichalem lachshin tzricha legufa chashvina. But it's interesting. It's not the way I suggested. The Rashi needs both of these. The real mechayev is the fact that he's coping and reacting, but it's reflected by the negative orientation to the malacha. Because otherwise, it would just be the past of the past. Let's start now. Now I'm moving forward. I'm not reacting. That's how I interpreted Rashi, because I was trying to integrate both factors. Just you should know that there's another possible reading of Rashi. The Sefer Ma'oros says that Rashi has two different factors, but he needs them both in Hotzos Ameis, because Hotzos Ameis, you're getting rid of the Reach Ra, and that's Nicha. So that's why you need the fact that, it's a coping malacha. Otherwise, the fact that it would be a Siluk malacha would be enough. But the fact that it's Siluk alone is neutralized by the fact that, you're not just getting rid of the mace. The mace is masriach, so you're improving your environment. So in this sense, the removal isn't just a negative, the removal is a positive. But since it's a coping removal, therefore it remains negative despite that positive. That's the Ma'oros. But the Ansari Dal of the mace. But I don't think he's making a certain assumption about Reach Ra, that Reach Ra would be Lashat Tzricha Legufa, which is the view of Rav Nissim Gon and Rav Haigon and so on, but not necessarily, probably not, the view of Rashi. But in any case, yeah.
Rashi and Tafis Adiman, I've seen someone like Mount Moore, Motzimberech Ra.
That Motzimberech Ra
is only, it's only because it's Rukhtua.
Legame.
Yeah, so he says, it's
basically
like the
Balmor. That's
it does
raise a for the Moros. Yeah, I agree. 100%. I mean, if since he holds like the other Rishonim, the most Rishonim hold it, simply getting rid of the Reach Rav as Siluk would be Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, so this would not be a reason to need to counteract more. I agree. I think it's a great example where, you know, the Maoros is operating with the mentality of other Rishonim, and he's imposing that upon Ra. I just think it's interesting that he was bothered by the two. I've never seen anybody else say that they were bothered by the two factors. Again, Bali Tosas and Ramban zero in on the coping factor in Rashi. They ignore the Siluk factor. The Balamor, you know, if you read the Balamor and then you read Rashi on Sadi Dalad, you might just only zero in on the Siluk factor. I think that's exactly what the Maoros did. The Maoros is one of the Chachmei Provence. And he just, you know, he had the Balamor in his mind. He said, it's Siluk, so what's the problem? Bali Tosas didn't look at it that way. They looked at it, you know, and the Ramban, for that matter, as being more the cope, which is what Rashi emphasizes in most places. But I totally agree. I don't think it works so much in Rashi. I just think it's interesting. But again, just Hotzlah Sameis to highlight this idea. So for Rashi, and for the Balamor, and for the Ramban, the issue is a global issue. It's not a din of hotzah, it's a din of malachos. Now, again, each according to his way. For Rashi, what we said, the coping, reflected by the siluk, it's not even a moving forward, get rid of the past, this is where new starting point. Even that is coping. Okay. For the Balamor, it's the siluk in its own right. Malachos siluk. For the Ramban, it's minias tumah. Again, it's so characteristic, because for the Ramban, Maisa Siluk per se is not a problem, because maybe you're cleansing the environment. Yeah, you are, but, you know, like Netilas Tziparnayim and Mila, and all the other cases that the Ramban thinks are not in Tzricha L'Gufa that the Balamor thinks are. Why? Because it's not Maisa Siluk per se. What is it? A positive Tachlis HaMalach, a negative one. A positive one or a damage control one? Minias HaHefsid. So that's Minias Tuma. Again, Rashi didn't focus on Minyas Tumah. He may not have been impressed by it, and he didn't need it, both. Rabban is impressed by it and needs it. This is all consistent. Again, the Dharna Sugya as well. Ramban's answer to the Dharna Sugya is different. Ramban's answer to Dharna Sugya is that it's not damage control. The Chidush Eran and Rashi's answer to the Dharna Sugya will be it's not reactive because it starts from now. But if you were to take the Bali Tosas in all these questions, again, so what is Tosas' view of Hotzah Sameis? Not global. Never mind the nuances of what that global concept is, but very specific. In the Mishkan, this isn't the way that they did it. They did it, they used it. And if you want to expand beyond that and say, and the Mishkan could have been even more expansive, maybe even Mar Lachbor and so on, you could do that. Again, I don't think you could say, you certainly couldn't say the Balamor for Hotzos Mar Lachbor Bo, or Hotzos Mita. You couldn't say the Balamor, you couldn't say it in the Balamor, and you couldn't say it in the Ramban. It's not even an option. Because their global view of Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is, let's say, Balamor, Maisa Siluk. This isn't a Maisa Siluk. You're carrying the Mar or the Mita because you want to get it to a particular destination. That's not Maisa Siluk. Or for the Ramban, damage control. No damage control. This isn't a Kisla Ziba. And it isn't Minyas Tumah, on the contrary. Right? For Rashi, globally even, if it's a coping, reacting thing, maybe. Right, maybe. But for the Bali Tosas, it's an open option. But let's see what's going on in the Mishkan. Is this considered Tzorach HaDavar? Well, it is Tzorach HaDavar in the Mita sense, but it's not really because you're interested in, you know, the Mita's, the Tzorach HaMita here is tefillah to the mace, which you have no use for. So given the Mishkan definition of Hotzah, that Tosas is zeroing in on. That's what Tosas says on Tzadi Dalid. Right? So maybe Marlach Bar, you know, Hotzos Marlach Bar, Hotzos Mita Likvar Bo, really is Ein Sricha Legufa. I just think it fits in very, very nicely. On the other hand, the Yireim, again in Hotzos Ameis, is different. The Yireim says, what's the problem of Hotzos Ameis? For the Yireim, not the first point. Eino Gorim Li Karos Malacha. What is it? Yaakov?
Yeah,
you're not going to use the Chavtza. But for him, that's a global point. Again, not a specific one. You're not going to use the Chavtza. So again, are you going to use the Chavtza in the case of a Marlach Bar Mita? Yes, you're going, narrowly speaking, you're going to use it. That's why the Urayim says, against Balitosis, Marlach Bar, Hotzos Marlach Bar is Tzricha Legufa. What I'm trying to show is, in many cases we are reconstructing, and in some cases some of the issues are harder or easier to fit in. But I think that there's unquestionably a pattern and different orientations, and you have to step back, and then you have to go back in. After you step back to try to figure out what the kolon may be, or the different orientations, you have to go back into the nitty-gritty cases to highlight them. That's what I'm trying to do with a few examples today. Kufnim Aleph Umid Beis. What's on Kufnim Aleph Umid Beis? Matis? What's Kufnim Aleph Umid Beis? Which case? What? What's the case there? Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis? Yeah, Hotzos Ameis, but L'inyan, not the mace itself. L'inyan Kisui. Kis al Tzavara. Correct? So what's the Gemara say there? If the tinok is alive and there's a kiss, so you're not chayev for the kiss. Why? I'm sorry, you are chayev mishum kiss, correct? You're not chayev for the tinok because tinok is chay nosei esatzmo, but you're chayev for the kiss. One might have thought the child is carrying the kiss or the kiss is bottled to the child, but it's not so. You're chayev for the kiss because the katan is tzarichlo. It distracts him, whatever the case may be, right? However, if we're talking about a mace, so then you're potter for the kids. That's the line of the Gemara, correct? Tinok mace v'kis tolu loy b'tzavaro, potter. Correct? V'lichayev mishum tinok, Rabbi Krab Shim and the Sri Lachan Shim Zukhufa Patr. Like, why you Patr Mishum Kiss? Oh, so what did Tosas say? We read this Tosas already. Go ahead, read the Tosas again. Tinok Meis Vikis Falu Bitsavaro. Okay, so the first day of Tosas has really nothing to do with our topic, although it's interesting. Right, when do you say Bitl, when don't you say Bitl? Like, the meat of the Meis is Batel, so the Meis. So not only are you not carrying the maize, but you're not carrying the mita either. Fine. Kedera Chamotzian. So this, we discussed the last point here. The truth is that there's really, I should have mentioned then, there's a Hagos Abach. Okay. So you don't need me to mention it. You can all see the little letter and should look it up. What does Hagos Abach do here? Is it important or not? Yeah. So if you don't have the Girsa of the Bach, so what the second answer of Tosas is that this is an Eidus Tzricha Legufa issue. Why is it Eidus Tzricha Legufa? Because since Tinok Meis doesn't need the kiss, it's Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa Shalahotzi Kederach HaMotzian, which is what led me to say that maybe that could be hooked up with Rabbeinu Gershom in Krisus, when Rabbeinu Gershom tries to explain why it is that kibui l'ischamim is melach shein tzricha l'gufa, a problem, which we'll get to, So he says, oh, because Shaloka Derech. Maybe Shaloka Derech is an approach to Malacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa. Now, Shaloka Derech is a universal issue, Shaloka Derech, Halacha Yad. Again, although we noted, here it's in the Kavana, not in the physical Maisa, right? It is a universal issue, although its application might be dependent upon the nature of each and every individual Malacha. That's a tricky thing. Okay, but in any case, this would be a very important formulation. But let's say you have the Girsa of the Bach, which is Inami. So then, it's not that Tosis is saying Malach Shein Etzricha Legufa is Midin Shalo Kederech. Rather, there are three answers in Tosis. One is Batal Agav Merare, which has nothing to do with Etzricha Legufa. The third answer has nothing to do with Etzricha Legufa either. It's Shalo Kederech, but it stands on its own. And the Inami second answer is that this is Malach Shein Etzricha Legufa because there's no Tzorech. It's Beli Tzorech, correct? Okay. And that might work very, very nicely. But again, it's worth noting here that the Tosas Rid disagrees. I gave you this one as well, correct? Did I give the one on Kuf Mem Aleph? Yeah. Alan, you saw it? Kuf Mem Aleph on the base. Very important language of the Tosas Rid. Again, very consistent, usually, the Tosas Rid in these topics. There are two, I would say, things that stand out in Tosas Rid's treatment of this topic. And we've noted both of them already. One is his emphasis of Chashivus. But Chashivus defined how? Objectively. Not by your particular intention or attitude, but objectively how this is perceived by others. I don't think I have it. Anybody have the Tosfos written for them? Go ahead.
Rabbi Rabbi Shimon is really cool. Kasab Rivan, the Gavikishim is Savar Hamis Nami Pater, the Havi Osa Shina Tsricha the Gufa, the Osa Sakis Ino Tsarech, Aval Kishatali Bukhai Sarakul Tsia, the Tayabo Hakatan Shalivka with Tsricha the Gufa.
Okay, so that's number one. That's the Rivam that the Tosfos Rid quotes is like the Inami of the Bach, right? Not Midin Shelo Kederech, but simply it's a Eina Tzorech. Okay, go ahead.
The Inu Nira Li Klal, Shar Yochavti Le'el, Bereish Perek Shmon Ashratzim, Kuzayim Mendeis, the Chomidi D'Chashiv Le'alma, Afo Bishi Hu Inu Tzorech Lo, Le'lacha Had Tzricha Le'ufahi. The Kis Nami Chashiv Le'alma, the Heil Chiptor Bezer Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah. What's it? Then he brings his mashal. He likes the first answer of Tosfos. Okay, that's all. Oh, he doesn't bring the example there? Or maybe on Sadi Dalet he does. On Sadi, on Kuf Zayin. Okay, so basically, what does the Tosfos Rid say here? To get it, very important to Machlokas. What do we have? Tosfos says, Tzorech lo. Tzorech agavra. And what does Tosfos Rid say? Chashivus is defined objectively by the Chefta Shal Malacha. By the way people perceive it. And then he makes reference to his comments on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. What's on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph? Again, you have Tosas. What does Tosas say there? What happens on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph? And on the base. Yoni. That's all? Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says... Yeah, Shmona Shratzen Mishnah says Amurim b'Torah Hatzadon v'Achovu b'Hen Chayim. Right, the Shar Shkatzim are Mosim Achovu b'Hen Pater Hatzadon l'Tzorech Chayim Shelo l'Tzorech Pater. So what's the implication of the Mishnah? That you need for the Shar Shratzim you need Tzorech, and what about for the Shmona Shratzim? Even without Tzorech. So Tosis asks, go ahead.
So
Vashminan. Okay, good. In a word, groundbreaking answer, new direction? What is Tosfos? The question is, what the condition implies that you be chayiv for tzad in the case of Shimon Shrotzen beli tzorech? How could that be? That's against Rav Shimon. What's the answer? The derech olam here is, and therefore stame the tzorech. There's no real difference between Shimon Shrotzen and the other Shrotzen. Just that in one case the default is that there's tzorech, and in the other case we can't presume tzorech without knowing that it exists. So it's a technicality, the difference between the Shmona and the other Shrotzen. What does the Tosfos Reid say? What does the Tosfos Reid say? Did you have it?
Yeah.
Is
the answer?
Yeah. So again, this is the Tosfos Reid makes reference to it himself. The Tosfos Reid basically thinks everything depends on, number one, this is the factor of Chashivus that he returns to again and again. But chashivas means for him objective chashivas, measured by, b'nei Adam, not this individual. I think what it really, really means is that we're interested in the, is there a chetz shel melacha here, which is defined by, is it the kind of thing that people do? That defines the chetz shel melacha. I think that the elements in Tosfos Reid of chashivas, of the focus on the objective rather than the subjective, and the third element is that the one that Ephraim read the other day, the one on Kuf Chaf Aleph of the base, which again he repeats in several places, and that is the focus on the actual Heftza itself. Remember that Tosfos Reid did some contortions to try to explain that there's a difference between Shechita and Kibui. Right? Shechita is Netilas Neshama, and therefore you're Chayiv, because the whole, the Dam and the Or and the Basar, the Neshama is everywhere. Nice idea too, right? A little bit of metaphysics, I guess. So the neshama is everywhere. But if you do kibui, so you do kibui in the place where you do kibui, you may be interested in saving other things, the rest of the psila and so on. That's not a maisa beguf hacheftza. So again, this focus on the cheftza as opposed to the gabra is consistent, I think. I don't think you have to say both to the same extreme, but again, there's a certain consistency of in the view of the Tosfos Reid, namely the focus is on Chetz Shel Melacha. And again, he has this with regard to Mekak Svarim. Again, Ramban says Mekak Svarim and all that, you're Chayiv, it's only because of your Patskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tosfos Reid here, ninth parak, says V'yeshlomar de Mekak Svarim Avnei Mizbeach Sheyesh Bahem Kedusha. Apagav she'enot tzorech li'ishtamish b'hen, again, no tzorech ha'gabra, hu chayim. Mipnei k'sheroa osan adam, eno mashlichon l'chutz. Again, he's not interested. According to the Ramban, if he's not interested at all, that's ein tzorech l'gufa. According to the Tosfos Reid, if he's not interested, but people are interested, k'sheroa osan b'nei adam, eno mashlichon l'chutz. Ela matzniin ad she'imotzei makom l'gonzon, hilko chashiv, u'matzniin kamohu habe. So again, there's these themes that are repeat themselves in the Tosfos Reid. Chashivus, objectively, it needs, the Chetza needs Geniza and Matznian. אבל הזרו מייסו נווה לו ושרץ, כיוון שרו עושה בתוך בייסו מה שליחים בחוץ, ומפנס בייסו. Right? מצד החפצה, מצד רוב בני אדם, it's not a מלאכה. והמייס קובר מיד, ואינו מצניין לגונזון. Right? You might say, oh, the mace is a chepza shel chashivus. It requires the demand. No, he says you just want to get rid of it. Get rid of it, but you want to do it quickly. Eino matzniyan legonzon. Right? The kivin sheidon adam lahatzniyan lochshivi. So again, these are the leitmotifs. You just see the different orientations. We have many, many cases in which there's a machlokas, or rishonim, whether something is or isn't lochshivi tzricha legufa. That's the starting point. But clearly the different orientations are critical. Again, another one, Lamed Aleph from the base, this is one of the other Maduras of Tosfos Reb. B'mokom ha-kibu yitzarech lo, shemisham rotza lahadlika, avon ha-miskavim lochus ala psila, ein mokom ha-kibu yitzarech lo, ala shar psila, ba-vazel lo tikarei melachus shitzricha legufa. So on and so forth. Again, Kuf Mem Aleph, Lamed Aleph, Kuf Zayin. It's interesting that this one, the one on Kuf Zayin, so the Shulchan Gemara also quotes it. And it's interesting that he says of all things, he says that Rav Haigon is against it. Right at the beginning of Shemona Shratzim. On Tzad. Hatzad, Mutzore Chayev, Shalom Tzor Chpatosh, Kom Lachshem Tzor Chlipu Vatale. Mori Zikni, etc. Amar Shalom Nelmar Kein, Ala Bishar Shkatzim. Amal Bechess Shratzim, Afidu Shalom Tzor Chayev. He doesn't say why, but we know why. Kvar biarti bekuntus arayas she'af teches shvatzim eino chayev aleim elim tzarech litzei dasan she'kom lach she'en tzricha legufa patra aleh v'chein shitas Rav Haigon. So again, that's also consistent. Rav Haigon, Rav Nissen Gon, l'kula l'chumra focus on tzarech hagavra. This they share with Tosis and the Ramban, although they go significantly further. They believe in tzarech hagavra even if it's a negative malacha and so on. That's awesome. Reach and so on. But of course, Rav Haigon is going to reject this Tosfos Reed. This Tosfos Reed, on the other hand, both the one on the Kakas Svarim and on Seidas Shmona Shvatzim and on Kiso Shalkata Neis, all three, is very consistent with the Ritva that I read on Kub Gimel. But the Ritva says that if you are Zareya, the son of Shal Chaver, Ba'ar de Chavrei, and it's Loich Basle, but there is Yipui Karka, he says, well, why is that name Tzricha Legufa? But again, Bali Tosa say that if it's Tzorech Chavrei, right, that's Bali Tosa's, that's their whole theory of Psikresh and Lonicha, Lem Lachshen Tzricha Legufa is based on that Gemara. For them, Loich Bas or Lonicha, even if it's a full Chepta Shal Malacha, there is Yipui Karka, is Ein Tzricha Legufa. And Rita says, why? I don't understand. I mean, people can use it, it's there. The Malacha was Naseis, so good. The Gabra is not interested. Again, you have these radically different positions on what Ein Tzricha Legufa is all about. Okay. And again, the Ramban, in the case of and the Kak Svarim says it's Dafkali but Rabbi Yehuda. So in each case we have the Rishonim, whether it's Ramban, Bali Tosas, Rav Haigon, who we associate with a very different perspective, disagree. Okay. Reach Ra we discussed already, but again, just one further point. Again, I think we said it before in the context of Tzvi's Ha'ara. For Rashi, and especially for the Balamor, Siluk Reach Ra has to be Ein Tzricha Legufa. If you focus on the intensity of Tzorech HaGavra, on the other hand, like Rav Nissim Gon, Rav Haigon, then on the contrary, Reach Ra is a great case of Tzricha Legufa. The interesting question is, what about the Ramban? Unlike the Balamor, who, as Yaakov pointed out, really doesn't understand the case of Reach Ra as Siluk, he understands it as a case of of the case of Yechayim, as a case of Refuah, Legamer Bo, where you use it. So the Ramban does hold, like the Yerushalmi, that the Reich Ra that we're talking about is Siluk. And yet, he considers that it could be Tzricha Legufa. So I think somebody made the point to me, I don't remember who made it anymore. Dovi? Go ahead, Dad. We'll find out now. What? I think you were the one. Maybe there's still a difference between. Yeah. Now, to prevent the Reach Ra from starting, that might be Siluk. But once Reach Ra is damaging you, so extricating yourself from that isn't just a negative, right? That might be a positive. So I wasn't sure about that, but looking at it again, I think maybe the Ramban really holds that way. But again, to make it clear, the Baal HaMor couldn't ever say that, because for the Baal HaMor, it's Meleches or Maisa Siluk. And I think for Rashi it would be difficult as well, and that's why Rashi may be like the Baal HaMor, because again, it's still a reaction to what exists. I think for the Ramban, that's an issue. I mean, for the Ramban, it's not about damage control. It's more than that. It's about improving, there's going to be a marked improvement of your situation. For the Ramban, it might be like, Nitzilas Tziparnayim. To prevent it from being here to begin with, that is Ein Tzricha. That's maybe the Chiluk the Ramban makes. That's Ein Tzricha Legufa. Once it's here, it's removing it as a kind of refuah, is an improvement. But for the Ramban Gufa, it actually makes sense. It's like Mila. It's like Netilas Tziparnayim. It's like Zora. It's like Borer. I mean, what's the real Chafza? Is the Chafza the thing that you take away? That's the perspective of Rashi and Baal HaMor generally, and therefore, since they're also committed to this view of Ein Tzricha Legufa in terms of Siluk, so the only way to get a Reach Ra, which is Chayim, and not Tzricha Legufa, is a case of Legamer. But for the Ramban, his negative malacha is not about the physical Ulas Siluk. Again, it's about, damage control and Hanas as opposed to Hanas Agavra. And he therefore, either coincidentally or not, this is what we were mistopic about the other day, about the Ramban, right, his view of what Chefza is different. Right? It's in the case of Mila, in the case of Tziparnayim, in the case of Zohar and Borer, it's not the object that you physically are taking away. Right? It's the larger goof, whose lot is improved, by virtue of the fact that you're doing this. So in that sense, Reach Ra, even if you don't hold like Rav Haigon and Rabbi, again, Rav Haigon and Begarishim, they don't need any of this. Any Hotzas Reach Ra for them is going to be Tzricha Legufa. But as long as it's, annoying enough. But for the Ramban, this distinction between before and after might very well be based on this idea. And again, that would reinforce the perspective of the Ramban. It works in with his different idea on Dharna and the others, etc. Okay. With regard to Mila, I think there's another question that needs to be raised. And that is when the Ramban disagrees with Rashi and Baal HaMor, let's say Baal HaMor specifically, and says that Mila is Tzricha Legufa because the Mechefza isn't the Orla, but it is the Gavra. I think another question needs to be asked. Like similar to the question we asked yesterday, what is the relationship between the Ramban's view of Ein Tzricha Legufa and his wider view of what is the Chafza? So too, we have to ask the question, what is the relationship in the case of Mila between the Shabbos part of this, I mean, how you define the Chafza and Tzricha Legufa and Ein Tzricha Legufa, and also his perspective on the mitzvah of Mila. Now, this is an issue which becomes more acute in our discussion of Kilkel, which I guess we're not going to get to today, but hopefully we'll start productively on Sunday. But to what extent does the nature and character of the mitzvah play into all of this? So, for example, in Mila, that's the big issue. To what extent is Mila Hasara Saharla? Or is it becoming a Nemo? Actually, I was listening when he was here when was that, about a month ago? So he gave a shiur in the afternoon on Atzitzin HaMa'akvin and Shein HaMa'akvin Nisamila. So one of the suggestions that he made was, depending on whether you look at the Mila in terms of Asara Sa'arla or in terms of becoming a Nimol, the positive aspect of it, but that may impact on whether Tzitzin Shein Ma'akvin Nisamila, but you cut them with the Mila. You know, is that considered to be really extraneous, or it integrates into the Maisa? Is that just Zekeli Vanveyu, or is it a Zekeli Vanveyu, which redefines the whole performance? It's a big issue in general in the Achronim about the relationship. And at the time, I think he made the suggestion that the definition of Mila in Hilchos Mila and in Hilchos Shabbos, and for example in Hilchos Korban Pesach, may be different. What kind of mila do you need for the green light to go ahead with your Korban Pesach may be different than the full kiyum or full mitzvah of mila in Hilchos Mila, which impacts on Shabbos. And precisely in this question, whether it's Hasara Sa'arla is enough or becoming a nimol is enough. So I just think it's interesting that it's part of the debate between the Balamor and the Ramban, that the Balamor very much focuses on Hasara Sa'arla. And the Ramban says, no, it's not a source of Allah. Mila is about Mila. So all I'm saying is that in theory, one could say that is just a Hilchos Shabbos question. What is the Chepta and what is Ein Tzricha L'Gufa? And the truth is that the Ramban says is consistent with what he says about Netilas Tziporneim and about Zorah and about Borer and about other things. So it's quite possible that it has nothing whatsoever to do with how you define the mitzvah of Mila. At the same time, it's tempting, if not in the Ramban, at least for other Rishonim, to raise the question, let's say, even if you didn't hold, like the Ramban, when it came to Netilas Tziporneim and so on, maybe you would agree in the case of Bris Mila, because the nature of Bris Mila is that it's about the Gavra and becoming an Orel, and about Kedushas Yisrael, and therefore even if objectively one could have looked at the physical malacha in a different way, the halachic definition ends up impacting on Hilchos Shabbos as well. As I say, in the context of Tikka V'Kilkol, we'll see this very clearly, that Rishonim discussed that. They both discuss the nature of Bris Mila, whether it really is a Tikka or a Kilkol, which we'll see, or this could all be in honor of the Bris, or the question is whether or not the impact of the Yoredeya, namely of the mitzvah, is felt in Hilchos Shabbos, in Orach Chaim. So I think two very interesting questions. But for the Ramban, I suspect you don't need it, but for other Rishonim at least, this might be an important issue to raise about the nature of Tzricha L'Gufa overlapping the mitzvah and the physical. And physical performance. Okay, there's a few other haros. Tzorech le'efer v'tzorech l'dam l'kela. Number one, just to make a correction, Matis pointed out the other day that in the sugya and daf kufav Tosas on kufav, I was reading Tosas kufav in a certain way, and I think he disagreed. And after looking at it again, Yaakov pointed out to me as well. I think that they're right. So what emerges is as follows. Is tzorech lekalbo and tzorech le'efer considered tzricha legufa or in tzricha legufa? Another important machlokas on Rishonim. It would appear that according to Rashi, tzorech kelev, tzorech efer is in tzricha legufa. That's a linchpin in Rashi's whole interpretation of the sugya. Rashi needs that because according to Rashi, it breaks down to Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. For Rav Shimon, who holds melach shein tzricha legufa, you must end up saying that Mekalkel is Chayiv, because the only other case of Mavir and Chovel that you would have, which wasn't Kilkul Gomor, would be Tzorech Efer, Tzorech Dam. And Tzorech Efer, Tzorech Dam, because they're Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, do not qualify, not in terms of Chiyuv, and not even in terms of Tikkun on that component of it. That's Rashi's analysis of the Sugya. Rabbi Bo, Rabbi Yochanan are Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, for that reason, it must be that Mekalkel, the Chovel Mavir, without Efer, without Dam, is Chayiv. So it emerges that according to Rashi, Tzorech Eifer, Tzorech Kalev is Ein Tzricha Legufa. The advantage with that, for that is that you at least don't have to explain something that, that all the other Rishonim have to explain, namely, Moshe, Chofer Guma, excellent. Chofer Guma really becomes a problem, or the problem of Chofer Guma becomes crystallized depending on the position that you take in Tzorech Efer and Tzorech Da. Now, it doesn't let Rashi off the hook completely, as we noted the other day, because if you were really focusing on negative malacha per se, positive malacha, negative malacha, again, Chofer Guma doesn't appear to be a negative malacha. But we could say what we said, that it's not a positive malacha either, meaning you're not interested in the malacha per se, you're interested in its byproduct. Anytime you're interested in a byproduct of the malacha, not the malacha, for its own, in its own right, that is also shlili. It isn't negative with a capital N, but it's negative with a small n, meaning it isn't positive. You're not interested in the malacha. There's no kavana la malacha, la tachlis ha-malacha here. Okay. But there's no reason to have to distinguish between chofer guma vein sarach lafara and chovel or mavir, chovel the shame kelev, mavir the shame afer. That's the advantage in Rashi, and we can just go with this idea that whenever you're really not interested in the malacha because you're doing it for negative purposes or you're not doing it for its purpose at all, this is what you have. Now, the only question that would remain in Rashi from this point of view is that even Ein Tzricha Legufa? Maybe it should be worse. Maybe it should be Einu Miskave. The answer is you are interested in the Pu'ula Samalacha. You're just really not interested in any aspect of its results. Not interested in a negative result of the Malacha. You're interested in no result of this Malacha. But you are interested in the action, in the Pu'ula. That's the distinction, I think, that needs to be made. On the other hand, I think Matis was correct, that Bali Tosis and Ramban disagree. They think that Tzorech Efer, Tzorech Kelev, is Tzricha Legufa. What they also add is that if you hold like Rabbi Avohu, who says that Mekalkel is Chayiv even without Tzorech Efer v'Tzorech Kelev, that's Kilkul Gamur. So the question Tosis asks is, if it's Kilkul Gamur, so where's the, it's good, the Kilkul part we understand, but where's the Tzricha Legufa? And the Shitasam, they require Tzricha Legufa, right, not like the Ravya and so on. So the answer to that question is, Yisurei Hana. If you are involved in Kilkul, Yisurei Hana, so the Kilkul, If you think he's choshev that he will use it, even if he's not allowed to in the end, you know, le kelev or le efer, so that's considered tzricha legufa. That's the chiddush of Tosis. Now that chiddush alone, let me just talk about both these things, is questionable because in the end of the day he's wrong. He did it for a purpose, and that purpose turned out to be incorrect. Right, that's the line here. Okay, but he's wrong. So is that Tzricha Legufa or not? That in itself is an interesting question. So Tosa seems to say the answer is yes. Who disagrees? Well, implicitly, I mean, a whole bunch of Rishonim might disagree to begin with. But concretely, Moshe? The Ben Peretz in Shit Mukabetz and Bavakal. What does he say? Correct? Yeah, so interesting. Again, you know, Rabbi Avohu and Rabbi Yochanan are just so shrouded in mystery that, you know, every Rishon came up with a different explanation of the issue. So what's Rabbi Peretz is? Do you have it in front of you? Okay, you'll just, I think I have it, but just quickly. Yeah, let's say you thought it was chulin. This is a similar kind of example, right? And therefore you have a situation of kilkul, which is tzricha legufa. If it turns out that you were mistaken, that's Ein Tzricha Legufa. That's the this is Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz here in Bava Kamma. Of course, as you know, the sugya here in Kuf Vav and Shabbos is repeated in Bava Kamma. In Tomer Abavo, my daite, Avadai, Rab Shimon Poter Velakshen Tzricha Lekufa. Exactly, Tosfos question. Yeshlomar the Rab Avavo, my Rishay Yitzarach and Kabo Lepro, B'Shasha Yechov LeMavir, Shechaval B'Vehema Sheyasavur Sheichulin. The chavav v'al tzarich kalva v'nitzashi shel kachim v'lamatzal lihanis midameha v'cheina hivir eitzim l'efron sheyisav v'shu shel chulin nimtzashu shel hekdei shlamatzal lihanis me'efron v'hashto v'hal pligi rabbo savar kiv d'haisot tzricha l'gufa b'shar she'asa ha'malacha hafagadl v'sofi g'lai milsa she'ina tzricha klal v'havalei mekalkel. Again, it's mikamokom karina bei tzricha l'gufa rabbi yochanan savar kiv d'l'sofi g'lai milsa d'mekalkel hu. There's another fascinating thing here, which we've seen already, this interplay between Tzricha Legufa and Kilkel, right? Which in most cases is not necessary for the sugi at all, unless I'm missing something very important. I don't think it was necessary in Rashi. And Rashi said that, you know, whether you'll define the Tzorach Efer, Tzorach Kelev as Kilkel or Tikkun depends on Tzricha Legufa, Tzricha Legufa. I don't think you need that for the sugya. I think it's fascinating that it's true, and it's logical that it's true. It didn't have to be true, and it's not necessary. So too we find in many Rishonim in many different places this transition from Ein Tzricha Legufa to Kilkel. Again, the Ramban has it, the Rav Yo has it, and in some cases in a definitional way. And here you have it, like Rashi, but in the opposite direction. The Kilkel and the Tikkun seem to be dictating whether this really is l'mafreya tzricha l'gufa or ain't tzricha l'gufa. I don't think it's necessary for what Rabbeinu Peretz is saying, but the language implies that. Havalei mekalkel, igloi milsa she'ain tzricha l'gufa v'havalei mekalkel, it's mekalkel anyway. V'kamokom karina beit tzricha l'gufa. Rabbi Yochanan Tzavar kivin l'besot igloi milsa the mekalkel, v'ein batika lo chashiva tzricha l'gufa. Which is one thing after one, we just say it separately. On the Kilkel Tikkun issue, that's one question. And as for whether it's Tricha or Ein Tricha Legufa, that, you know, depends. If you're looking at the Gabra of the Shas Maisa, he thinks it's Tricha Legufa, that's his perception. The reality is that it's not. I also think it's fascinating that the Ravenu Peretz formulates even that part of it the way he does. The issue here may be his mistaken impression versus the reality of what he's doing, not l'mafreya. Let's say I think I'm doing something tzricha l'gufa, but my ignorance of either the fact or of the halacha is such that it turns out that what I'm doing is ein tzricha l'gufa. That's how I would have formulated it. I'm not sure that isn't what he means. It's interesting that he gives too much weight to the man's perception, in a way. It sounds, you could read the Rabbeinu Peretz, it's a tzricha legufa b'shaito, which is ain tzricha legufa l'mafreya. But nothing really changed, because even b'shaito was ain tzricha legufa. He just didn't know about it. One could have said this chiluk, I'm saying, in two ways. Either it's personal versus objective, or it's present versus retroactive. In the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me so much. Either way, Rabbeinu Peretz disagrees with Tosas. Tosas says, you know, Bein Rav Avo, Bein Rav Yochanan, so it would seem, a mistaken impression is a tzricha legufa. And Rabbeinu Peretz is saying, again, whether it's the, you know, whether you want to focus on the present and the mistake or on the Igloi Milsa and the B'shas Maisa, either way, Rabbeinu Peretz is saying that gufa is the machlokas between Rav Avo and Rav Yochanan. But again, this fits in very nicely with the issues that we've been seeing. Although it could be machalik. But the point is that if it's about more tzorach agavra, an attitude that you bring, and a seriousness that you bring to the malacha, you know, the fact that it doesn't have a basis in reality, Igloi Milsa L'mafreya or B'shas Maisa, that he got it all wrong. But still, does he do this malacha, you know, is he positively disposed as a gavra? Certainly. I hear you might say, well, had he known, you know, then what he knows now, that's where the Lamaf, maybe that's why Rebbeinu Peretz is focusing on the Lamafreya part. Because even as a Gavra issue, he wants to undermine it. You know, if he would have known what he knew, and once he knows it, so his attitude in retrospect is different. Okay, if you're talking about the attitude being critical according to all Shitos, and that Machlokas is that, then you have to emphasize Shas Maisa and Lamafreya. Another way to do the same thing is to say, you know, we don't really care if you were the Tosis Rid, you know, and you were being polled on this question, what would the Tosis Rid say? He would say, we don't really care what he thought. Not now and not Lamafreya. What we care about is Lamaisa, is this Tzorach HaGuf or not? Now, Tosis Rid says that L'chumra, I think here, it would be interesting, he might say it, L'kula. Right? L'chumra cases where the guy's not interested, but objectively, it's something that people are interested in. This case is, he's interested, but there's the, objectively, nothing is happening here. There's no Tzorach HaGuf here. So I think that this, again, is a very interesting issue. As for Tzorach Efer, Tzorach Kalbo itself, yeah.
Especially for Tosos, who seems to hold that Lachashim Tichlu Gufa is written in the Mishkan, whereas in Kaka is written in Lachas Mosheves, he might say that it would make sense in a general methodological way to distinguish between the criteria and issues such as subjective.
Right, as I was saying before. Even though Tosos Dafka happens to link them on Kuvav in terms of the, you know, the narrow versus the larger, I would thought that, you know, maybe Bali Tosos, you know, more than anyone else, if it's not even two types of Malachas Machsheves, but Mishkan versus Malachas Machsheves, except that there are still, what I tried to show is there are still these other issues. Okay, I'm not sure how it works here, though. How do you want to say it here?
I mean, you meant to say it the opposite way.
What?
I meant to say it the opposite way, more simply. The way you'd say it is that Lachashin Shuch Lagufa is the need that they did it for in the Mishkan, so it becomes a subjective question. The people in the Mishkan were performing certain Malachos with certain purposes in mind. Lachas Machsheves, especially if you take not a Machsheva perspective, but more of a Lachas Umnos type of approach, is in terms of the objectives, you know,
how constructive is it?
Constructive
how constructive is it, not whether or not how serious you are in doing it?
Right, so if you take that perspective, it's not shabbat.
You could, I don't say, but you could go either way with it. I mean, once you're making the distinction, it's hard to know which one is more objective and which one is more subjective. That's a separate question, but absolutely. Okay, in any case, this is very important. As for Tzorach Efer, Tzorach Kalbo itself, so again, for the Ramban, it's a Dover Pashut, and he says it very, 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 very clearly on Kuvam. That of course Tzorach Efer and Tzorach Kalbo is Tzricha Legufa against Rashi. After all, the guy is you have there Yaakov, I think you were actually. The guy is interested in the Malacha. He's interested in the Dam. He's interested. These are all part of the. These are all. The reason he emphasized on that is. He emphasized that is because it's bavi by kofar guma, meaning the Ramban, like say, this is perfect. Tzorach Efer, Tzorach Kalbo, general taklis chiyuvit. The only thing holding the Ramban back is kofar guma v'tzorach lafar. So what does he say about that?
So he says, Mashikim kofar guma shebinyan v'karka v'hu anikum v'lacha.
So what's the point?
Shem Malacha Binyan is different.
Shem Malacha Binyan doesn't include Afar. Afar is completely minuta, completely disentangled from the Binyan process. Binyan is about the structure, not about the materials, not about the displacement of the materials. It's a Dinin Karka, not Metaltalan. That's Ramban. Not only the Ramban. A group of other Rishonim as well. Therefore, Chofer Gumo, Tzorach Lafar, you might say, well, but he wants to do this. It's on damage control. This is what bothers Ramban. From his own perspective, it's not a negative malacha, it's not a damage control. But the answer is, it's on the border of being Enim Miskave. Again, Rashi has no problem, because Rashi will say, even Tzorach Efer. As long as you're interested in the byproduct, the Ramban's saying, if you're interested in the byproduct of the malacha, that would actually be Tzricha Legufa. But in the case of Afar, you're not even interested in the byproduct of the Malacha. It's not a byproduct of the Malacha. It's an extraneous other product. That's a distinction that is important for the Ramban, because the Ramban has this wider view of Tzricha L'Gufa to begin with. Tzorach L'Efer is no problem for him. Chofer Guma is the problem. For Rashi, Tzorach L'Efer is the problem. And L'Shita Sam, it makes a lot of sense. What about Balitosis? So, as I say, our corrected version of Balitosis, Matis is correct. So Balitosis also say, if you have, again, one issue is the Hanah issue. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, I forget about Rabbi Vaughan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Tzorach Eper, Tzorach Kelev, is Tzricha L'Gufa for Balitosis. So Tosis also asks, Maishna, go ahead. Alan, you have it? You're on Kuvav.
Yeah. Maishna Mechoker Guma, Tzorach Eper, 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 Tzorach Eper,
So what's he saying? He's saying the same thing as the Ramban? Again, if you're, you know, if you don't think about it too, you know, too long and too hard, you might say, yes, yeah, he's, well, like Ramban, he has a problem. Anybody who holds Tzorach Efer, Tzorach Kalbo, is Tzricha L'Gufa, has a problem with Kofer Guma. No question. And like the Ramban, he needs to make a distinction. That doesn't mean that the distinction is always the same. It might be formulated differently because of different perspectives. Is it differently or this is it different or the same? The Ramban was saying, this isn't a byproduct of the Malacha. As I say, this is nothing to do with, this is completely disconnected from the Malacha. Okay, what does Tosa say? Chofar guma nasis me'leha. Tosa says he's not interested in the malacha, in an enemy menu klum, meaning it could be that Tosis agrees that chofer, that guma, that offer rather is a byproduct of the malacha, but for Tosis to be tzricha l'gufa in bone, what does it need to be? That you're interested in the guma. How do I know that? Not just that you make a guma and you're interested in its byproduct. How do I know that? That's what Tosis says explicitly on Sadi Dalet Omid Aleph. Just turn to that for a minute. We'll stop in one more minute. I just want to go through as many of these to concretize the things as you can. But what is supposed to say at Sadi Dalet Omid Aleph? Here too, he discusses everybody has problems. That's one of the problem cases. If they could wave away Chofer Guma, they would do it. If they could make it Tzricha L'Gufa, they would do it. Problem is the too many Gemaras. So you have to explain it. It's a lot more difficult to explain for the other Rishonim than it is for the Balitosis. Balitosis just have to look to the Mishkan somehow. Okay, so what does he say? Am I wrong that it's here?
It's here.
It's here, right? Go ahead, Akiva. So what's Tosis says? Why is it Malachshen Tzricha L'Gufa?
Because specifically needed the Guma.
Because the interest was in the Guma. Anytime it's not in the interest that was the interest in the Mishkan, now is he interested in the Guma here? No. Is the offer the byproduct of the Malacha? Yes. Being interested in a byproduct, according to Tosis, is not enough. Being interested in the byproduct of the Malacha is enough for the Ramban. So that's why the Ramban needs to push it a step further and say the Afar is not even a byproduct. But Tosis doesn't say that on Kuvav. Tosis says the Guma just happens in Mimela. I mean, he's not interested in the Guma. He could be interested in the byproduct. Now, the Ra'ah also has a formulation here. What is the Ra's formulation? Moshe? In Shidu Gubetzis and Baba Kama? He might be, I think he's struggling to say the same thing as the Ramban, but he comes up with a criterion. Is that? Didn't make an impression? Jay?
Says that Kofer Guma, you can't get the Afla without first being the whole.
No. I thought he says the opposite. I'm not sure. I happen to agree with you physically. I'm not sure what he means. But unless he means you can displace it within the Guma itself, I guess. But he says the opposite, but you're in the right direction. I mean, what's the criterion of Tzricha or Ein Tzricha L'Gufa?
If all
if you can do one without the other, it sounds like segregation, you know, in a way. If you can do one without the other, then that's in Sricha Lagufa. If one necessitates the other, then that's Tricha Lagufa. That's the first time that we... It reminds us a lot of the Rav Yoav, in a way. You know, Tikresh Adolin Yichor, etc. But... V'lo dami l'chofer guma ve'in tzarech el la'fara t'chashvina l'malach she'en tzricha l'gufa t'hasam efshar l'guma. So you have a machokas on a tzias with him. Efshar l'guma b'lo afar u'la afar b'lo guma. Avakan, meaning efer, kelev, efshar l'zeh b'lo zeh. Sheyefshel adam below chabura below leefer below havara. Afa bishet a tzorach laosa malacha lebeshvila achar asiyasa. Have a malacha tzricha legufa. The gozis the mechayiv lefishet tzorach letzemer achar giza. Kibud lo efshel. We'll see this in Makalko too. Some of the Rishonim suggested maybe tzricha and ain't tzricha depends whether it's simultaneous. They were using simultaneity. Rabbi Natan says it's about kilkol. They're using simultaneity as a shiur in the malacha, or its byproduct, or even a byproduct and an extraneous product. If it's simultaneous, it's connected. If it's after the fact, so the Ra says, no, I don't think that's correct. You see from Gozes, it isn't true. Although, you might say Gozes, Shem Malacha is different. In Gozes, that's the Shem Malacha, it's a Malacha's Hakshir. Right? It's not the shearing, it's the gaining access to the wool. It's making the wool detached. Not so sure why that's such a strong raya. Again, there are all things, if it would be true, it would have to be true globally. Okay. So basically, simultaneity is one possible criterion. And the Ra'a says indispensability is the real criterion. I don't know exactly what he means. What he means? You can dig a hole without displacing the materials?
Yeah,
what? Right, but you still displace them. I think what he means is that, you know, there's a way to dig a hole where the displacement is part of the hole. Forget about the wet ground. Even not wet ground. In other words, if you build it in such a way, then that's part of the structure. If all the afar, I may be wrong, I think if all the afar is part of the structure, so then that's not chofer guma, that you don't consider it afar anymore. You just consider it the reshaping of the contours of the landscape. That's building.
Sometimes you dig a hole, put the thing in it, and then fill all the...
Right, I'm saying that if you use all the afar, you know, to it all becomes part of the newly shaped contours of the karka, of the topography, then, basically, there's no chetzah shel afar. Right? I think that's what he's saying. Or you can dig a pit and you can have the afar separate. But since you don't need one for the other, so the point is, that's the shiur in, this is not part of the malacha, it's completely extraneous. Other Rishonim, the Meiri says, with this we conclude, that there are other ways to get afar than the Ra says, you can do bona without producing afar. Right? And I think the Meiri says, you can produce afar without bona. That's one possibility. The other day in the Meiri says, you don't really need to build in order to get afar. So it's not sarachla because there are all sorts of other options. Meaning, in one point he's suggesting, the Meiri also, I think, quotes the Shita of simultaneity. I think he has all three possibilities. So one view of the Meiri simply is, Kofar guma v'tzarech la'afra v'ein tzarech el la'afra, it is part of the malacha. But since there are, it's not really necessary because there's so much afar around, you don't need to be bona to get it. So it's still not considered a tzarech agav. Inami, it's these questions. Indispensability or simultaneity. But the point is, again, that according to Rashi, the question is a far less acute because you have tzorach efer, tzorach dam. According to the Ramban, the question is a very strong question, and you need to extract the afar, if you don't mind the pun, from the malacha in this case, you know, completely, in order to justify. For Tosis, you don't need that much. You need to make the distinction. All you need to show is that the Mishkan, and that's exactly what Tosis did. Some Rishonim build up the fact Rabbanan included, that the dam and the Afer are part of the Cheftah Shel Melacha of Mavir and of Chovel as well. I think that's an open question, but how far you need to emphasize that depends on some of these issues. Just one or two other points on Ein Shvicha L'Gufa on Sunday, but mostly Sunday we turn our attention to Mekalkel.